Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey guys, welcome to the show for May 30th. It's episode 7. It's Slam Fire Radio. We've got Trevor and Owen and Matthew, and the doctor is in, but no 10X.
Everybody!
Yeah, come on. That was good.
Okay, so good day.
This is the Great White North, right?
This is the Great White North, eh?
It certainly is.
How's it going, eh?
Going great, eh?
Yeah, beauty, eh?
Oh, man. If this is what the whole show is going to be like, I'm out. Just right now. I'm gone.
All right, we'll see you later. So, Doc, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, take off.
Take off, eh?
To the Great
Bunch
White North.
Of hosers. Yeah. So yes, we've got Doc Wesson, not Doctor Who. Sorry, 10X. We'll work on it.
Thank God.
But the TARDIS just, you know, it broke down again, I guess. I don't know. I'm
your nerd is showing.
Up.
Stop it.
It does
it's like
that.
Retardis.
Retardis. Oh, very nice. 10X and 9X are going to take you out, Doc, but, you know.
Oh, sorry. Hoser.
Hosers. They're Scottish hosers, so it's okay.
Begum the gas gully.
So, yeah, we got Doc Wesson joining us. Doc is host extraordinaire of Barstool Discussion and Gun Nation. You know, he graciously decided to, you know, after, you know, phoning it in a few weeks ago. You know, he thought he'd finally get around to joining us. So
I thought we were on the Canadian time.
We're on Canadian time. Yeah, it's whenever the heck you show up, right?
Yes. Weeks later.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks winter later. Here, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right. We're not doing anything. We're trying
it's
to
like 90 degrees here today, so, you know.
It's not too bad.
It was only like 30 here.
Sorry.
Yeah, Kelvin.
Yeah, Kelvin.
No, I'm in 30 degrees Celsius.
Oh.
They actually announced a heat wave in Toronto today.
Ah. Yeah.
Yeah, really? But it was only like 30, which is only like 90. I'm like, please, it's not a heat wave. It's a nice summer day. When old folks start dropping, then we'll use the word heat wave. Don't throw it around until at least three people die.
At least three people. That's the limit. If at least three
people
don't die.
Dying.
You guys are. I'm just saying what the standard should be. Oh, if you want to laugh at people's death, I mean, who am I to stop you?
That's right. Well, hey, speaking of people dropping, my buddy's, well, Matt's neighbor, he was out cutting the grass and he just collapsed. He didn't die. I mean, he was okay, but, you know, had some sort of something or other. So, hey, be careful cutting your grass out there, eh?
That's why just, I have a boy for that.
That's right.
The yard work is
shake it off. Walk it off, son.
Walk it off. You'll be fine. What's a heart attack between friends? You're all good.
You cut my grass, I'm going to the range. That's how it works here.
It's a good way to start it out.
Well, you guys know I got that doctor's note, right?
Yeah. Okay. From Doc Wesson himself, right?
It'll be a beauty, eh?
Oh, beauty. Well, Doc, we always start off the show with what we've done with guns in the last week or so. Why don't we start with you as the guest of honor here?
Well,
what'd you get up to this week?
Well, you know, here in the South, we love our lever actions.
Lever actions?
Yeah, lever actions.
Lever.
Yeah, lever.
Yeah, I get that from Grant Cunningham all the time. Anyway, I had dug in one of my safes and found a good old Model 94, Winchester Model 94 Trapper.
Love it.
In the 44, and I hadn't shot it in a while, and I thought, you know, it's a good time to do it. So yesterday, I actually went out and shot about 200 rounds through it, and now my shoulder is a little bit on the blue side. So, you know, I like to take stuff out and shoot, you know, things that you really got to hit hard to move.
Like TVs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, anything you can get your hands on. I found an old there's some type of generator, you know, the coils in it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
And it weighed like about 50 pounds, and I was like hitting that thing, and those little copper things were. You ever seen a golf ball come apart? Somebody.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful.
Nice.
Oh yeah, you gotta love that. And then, you know, after you're done, you can strip the copper and take it and
sell it,
recycle it.
Yeah. It's win.
Yeah. So, you know, and then after that, all I had time to do the rest of the week was to clean that rascal. So nothing more than that, except take the guns back and forth from the car to the office and from the car to the house and, you know.
And what about your everyday carry? What did you carry?
Well, that's what he's talking about, I think.
Everyday, yeah. Well, you know, actually, normally in my trunk, I carry the 357 Magnum lever action.
There you go.
Thanks.
Want one of those.
Hose head. 1894.
Yep.
Marlin's got that nice American walnut on it. And really nice.
As opposed to that crappy Canadian walnut.
You know, hey. That's maple, right?
Is that maple? Yeah, that's what they call Canadian walnuts, maple.
Oh, my gosh. No, listen. I love the neighbors to the north. You gave us Rush, Tim Horton. Love the coffee. And
good rye whiskey, good beer.
Yeah. That's right.
And maple syrup.
Maple syrup, man. What else could you want?
Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
No. We're not taking responsibility for that one. We also gave you Celine Dion and Justin Bieber and Jim Carrey.
Oh, by the way, no refunds, substitutions, or returns.
That's right.
We'll keep them if you will take, what's his name?
No, we're not taking him.
We don't want him.
You know
keep
what I'm talking about.
England.
Yeah.
Piers Morgan. No way, no how. We're not taking him.
Mr. X Factor.
Yeah.
Or whatever they do. He did.
But
I carry that 1894. I carry that. And my system is I carry a Model 686. 2.5-inch 357 Magnum, the Combat Master with the mm-hmm. smooth combat trigger. I have Eagle grips on that, the Eagle Secret Service grips. So it's got the, it's a very nice Coca-Cola with the, more like the boot grips are where it's cut off on the bottom. You can hide it pretty well, you know, for mm-hmm. real. But that's what I carry. And, you know, I've like on my podcast, I've talked a lot about the 357 Magnum when you go from a shorter barrel to a, you know, 16-inch, 17, 18-inch barrel. It really jacks it up. You get up there around the 30-30.
Yeah, you get a lot of power out of those things.
Yeah, you sure do. So, you know, that's what I carry pretty much all the time. I occasionally sneak a semi-auto in there. And
sacrilege! What are you doing? What?
Don't tell anybody.
You own semi-autos?
Yeah.
Wow. You would never think that from your show.
I get a lot of ragging from that, but, you know. I like the steel and the wood. That's my favorite stuff. So
Doc, why, and I know you get asked this question all the time, but you've never been asked on Slamfire Radio, why such an affection for the revolver? Why not just go to the bottom feeder like everybody else? Why restrict yourself to a short barrel and only six rounds?
Well, six rounds is good for two gunfights, you know, Trev. Each gunfight statistically is only three rounds at 3 feet and
so
3 seconds.
So you're even going to interrupt Doc Wesson? Have no...
No
you can't
scruples.
Even stop yourself. No,
I can't.
Unbelievable. No. Sorry,
I'm
Doc.
Telling
go
you.
Ahead.
Yeah.
Hoser. I've been practicing this all week because people will hear me talk in my bland white Southern accent, and they want everybody in Canada will be like, "What did he say? I don't understand." But anyway.
So you said you've been practicing for a week. Well, really, it's been two, right?
Because 2 weeks.
We're
gonna
have you on 2 weeks. Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about a Canadian week.
A Canadian
so
week.
Anyway, but no, I had, I you know, I grew up, you know, I'm like 48, so I grew
you're,
up.
Oh, you're almost as old as Trevor.
Wah, wah. Carry on, Doc.
Anyway.
If you open your mouth once more, I'm going to drive to Edmonton and put one in your kneecap.
Nice.
Well, anyway, no, I had, you know, I grew up in a time when the revolver pretty much kind of ruled. And, you know, I've always followed, you know, the writings, stylish writings of Elmer Keith and some of the others like that, Bill Jordan and the like, and just got enamored, I guess, by all that stuff. And then, you know, of course, the 357 Magnum was, ooh, everybody, you know, that and the 44 Magnum, of course, when Dirty Harry came out, and that really made it big with the Model 29. And but anyway, I just I really fell in love with them. And back at that time, the semi-automatics really were not that reliable. And the 9mm was anemic. And, you know, so that just, we all made fun of that. And, you know, to this day, I still have just some strange feelings. I won't diss, you know, I have polymer guns now too. And the semi-autos, you know, obviously my favorite is the 1911, you know, the steel stuff. Preferably the 70 series Colts. But, you know, I do have, I prefer in the plastic guns. I like the XD pretty good. I just recently bought my first Glock. Can you believe that? All these years. And
you just prevented the interview from being canceled.
Just now, just like that.
So
you
just
were close.
Carry on. I was trying to get in there and stop you, but I didn't want to be rude.
No. I will not diss Glock, and I will not disrespect the 9mm either. From that point of time back then to now, the improvements in metal and the improvements in gunpowder and the like, it's just come such a long way. I certainly do not feel undergunned with a 9mm.
No,
whatsoever.
Not now. Not with plus P plus ammo.
Yeah, you're getting up to the short barrel 357 Magnum speed, you know. Yeah. And so there's nothing there that would turn me away. And the Glock, believe it or not, and, well, you know, Glock has and I fell into that from the very beginning because everybody – I'm the kind of guy that, you know, hey – If the whole crowd's going one way, I kind of like to go the other way, just because, you know. And so, you know, that whole thing with Glock came about, and the fact that it could make it through airports.
Metal detectors.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Cost and, 2 months' salary.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, and all that mess. We made fun of it back then based on that, and I was younger at the time, too. But honestly, you about can't find one that's as reliable. I mean, they have been cranking them out. And, you know, of course, it's probably the most owned, one of the most owned semi-automatic handguns in the world, you know, if not the most. And they're still going, you know. So I actually wanted to get one. And I've never talked about, I try not to talk bad about them whatsoever. I don't feel bad about them, but I just, you know, didn't want to throw that stigma out there that I had been used to for so long. And so what I ended up doing was saying, you know, I've shot them before, and the grip angle is a little bit strange because I like the straight up and down 1911 kind of grip angle that the 1911 and the XDs kind of offer, you know. And so I thought, you know, the thing is, I've never really shot one at great length. And I mean, like, you know, month after month, just to really get into it. And so I ended up purchasing the Model 19 and have thoroughly enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it. It has not laid down one single time, and I've run some of the cheapest junk through it. You know, I've actually tried to limp wrist, make it I cannot get it to do that. And so much so that I have recently put the order in for the Model 29.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to get me another one there. And same time too, I bought the Ruger SR9C, and that is I really have enjoyed shooting that one. The trigger on that is really quite good. Oh, I thought it was. You think it's bad?
Oh well, yeah.
That's how you really feel.
Oh, the Ruger SR series triggers suck.
You think so?
Well, no, actually, I don't. I look at it from a tuned competition perspective. Every time I pick up a handgun, I think about that handgun with competition in mind. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Ruger SR9 in fact has a great combat trigger and a great trigger that will keep you alive and prevent you from developing trigger freeze.
Yes.
So I will give it its due. It does have a good combat trigger.
Yeah. Well, you know, see, I don't do competition.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm used to the double action revolver pull.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, in your world, it would be a good trigger.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good trigger in my world. I do fairly well with mine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you've learned to shoot it very, very well. So anybody who didn't have your skill who picked up that gun and tried to shoot IPSC with it might take a little bit longer to master it than you did. It's not an easy gun for a newbie to learn to shoot
No, yeah, that's true. I have to agree, that's true. Well, neither is a revolver, you know.
No, revolvers are definitely hard to shoot.
Yeah. Yep.
Especially the short barrel.
Yeah, especially Owens.
What's his?
I have an antique 1883 French ordnance, and it has about a 56.5-pound trigger pull.
Tell him what caliber it is, Owen.
It's an 11 millimeter.
It goes up to 11.
Why not just make it to 10?
Because it goes to 11. It goes all the way up.
It goes to 11.
What a lot of guys are doing, Doc, is honing out the cylinders so they can shoot 45 ACP.
Oh, yeah.
So. But Owen's not going to do that because he's a purist.
Yeah.
Light purism.
Yep. Well, speaking of Owen, why don't we move on to what you've done with guns this week, Owen?
Yes, kind of rewind here.
We kind of got off topic there because Trevor asked Doc some questions that were, you know, for later for the main topic. But, you know, that's okay. That's okay, Trev, you know.
Poser.
Right, crap, now we got nothing to talk about later.
Yeah, we're pretty much done. So thank you for listening.
Good day.
Good day, eh?
We'll explore revolvers in more detail later.
Yeah.
There's plenty to talk about those.
That's why we're having them on.
Yeah, so. I didn't do anything.
No?
I beg to differ.
Yeah.
I do? You do?
Yeah, I do, yes.
Well, do you want to talk about that, like, last? Okay. Well, then, Trevor, what did you do with guns then?
Wow.
No, whatever. Great segue, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Smooth as sand.
Granite.
Yeah. So is Owen talking or what's going on? Is he getting a pass?
No, I just wanted to mention that to the listeners about the company that Matthew and I started, where we've designed and are selling an AR magazine for the 50 Beowulf caliber.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And so just wanted to mention to listeners to head on over to presscheckventures.com. And check it out if that's something they're interested in. And this show isn't an advertisement for the company. They're not related. But we did want to mention it so that listeners could take advantage of, you know, hearing about it. And the promo code that we're offering, if you type in Slamfire, if you order something and type in Slamfire, you will get a discount.
Who doesn't
like a 10% discount.
10% discount.
That almost covers the taxes.
And in some provinces, it would.
Yes, that's right. So, that's all I wanted to say about that.
That's awesome. I'm pretty stoked for you guys. I know that there's a market in Canada for the 50 Beowulf Mag, and I've been looking at them, and I've played with some of yours, and I'm very, very, very excited about them. They work great. They do the job. I don't have a 50 Beowulf, but that doesn't matter. You look at the Alexander Arms mags that are coming in and other mags that are coming in, and guys are selling them for like $200 a pop. Mm. And they're the full capacity ones with a pin in them. Well, the beauty of these is they're a straight up 5-round mag. No pin needed. So, yep. Of course, now that I have them, I want a 50 Beowulf, but... Anyway, they're certainly doing the job for me right now, that's for sure.
Cool. Matthew.
Yes.
Did you do what you said?
No, did you didn't. Did I do it? What did I do?
You did.
What was I supposed to do? Was I supposed to do something, or is it my turn to talk?
It's your turn to talk. Why don't you? I was trying to segue here, you know, since that's not my thing, is segueing, as we know from last week.
Well, apparently it's not the show's thing this week. Yeah. Our segues this week suck.
It's out
so
the door, man.
All segues tonight are going to be awkward.
Raise your hand if you've had more than 3 drinks already.
Nice,
I
Doc.
Knew it.
Good for you.
I got
you.
Both of them up. I had to set my glass down.
That's funny.
Oh, Matthew, what did you do this week in guns?
I actually got out today just so I'd have something to talk about tonight on the show. because I have done nothing aside from Press Check Venture stuff with Owen. It's
my
just been
my feelings are hurt. Both yeah, you guys it's were with been... me on the weekend.
Oh,
well, we knew we'd talk about that.
Yeah, we figured you'd talk about that.
I never fired a single round. I mean, I didn't even take my gun out of my holster.
Yeah, my gun was used by Matt the whole time because Matt came. We taught a black badge in Restigouche.
Now what am I going to talk about?
Oh, see? You're a jerk. What anyway, I went to the gravel pit, brought my .22s, put some Dr. Pepper cans out at just over 150 meters and smacked them with my .22s there because that's fun to do. And then I went ahead and shot one out of the air with my .22 pellet pistol. So, yeah, that was cool.
When can I get your autograph?
Yeah, you just wait, man. When I come down next weekend, I will sign your face with a Sharpie while you sleep.
Yeah, I'll wake up and there'll be a big something right across the side of my cheek, probably.
Oh, I don't go that far.
Oh,
probably.
If you ever pass out in front of me again, yeah.
I've never passed out in front of you.
Only behind you.
Just anyway, yeah, no, I like I said, just got out and did some plinking, had some fun, so that was pretty much it. And if you don't believe me, it's on YouTube, so go check out my YouTube channel.
You said
that is an advertisement.
Yeah, oh yeah. Way to plug.
Yeah.
You said 22 air rifle?
.22 pellet pistol.
Yeah, what? Oh, pistol.
Pistol, yeah.
Oh.
So I tossed it up, and I've been watching 22 Plinkster too much lately, and he does that, so I was like, oh, I got to try it. So flipped it up, and pew, turns
Any
out,
luck?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty,
easy, though, Matt, when you only throw it like 1 foot in front of the barrel.
Yes, thank you, Owen.
Hey, that's what he does, too.
He didn't
and
throw
I
it so much as he just held it up, let it go, got his hand clear, and shot it.
Go watch a video and see for yourself. Anyway, I invite you to try it for yourself and post the results.
I did
it in one cut with one miss, so you go ahead and try.
All right. As soon as I lower myself to buy an air pistol, I will.
No, do it with the .22 at the range. Just don't tell the CFO.
Listen, that's how I practice for waterfowl hunting in the fall. I don't take the skeet thrower and throw it out there at 50 yards and shoot it because that's too easy. I toss it like 4 feet out in front of me and try to get my gun shouldered and fire.
It's way harder that way.
Very, very, very difficult, especially with the pattern master with a very tight choke that I run.
So I had a pretty tight choke on my pellet gun, too. Oh, wait.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If things are hard, why are you doing them?
To make it, to get yourself better.
Yeah. You know that you can buy duck at the store, right?
Yes, let's buy our meat at the store where no animals were harmed in the process.
That's right.
They were grown from the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, you plant a bacon strip and you get a cow.
You've seen the bacon seed, right?
Yeah. Looks tasty. Yeah. All right, Trevor, tell us about the black badge.
All right, so the three of us and a few other wonderful volunteers at the Restigouche Gun Club put on the second black badge of the year, well, the second one for us anyway, and we had 15 students, big class, and I spoke to the section coordinator today, and by the time I'm doing another one tomorrow in the Miramichi, by the time that one is done, and then I've got two females that I'll be doing a black badge with on Monday. By the time that's all done, we'll be at about 43 people trained so far this year. And provincially, that's a black badge record.
Hmm. So now, is the section coordinator going to reply to my email? Did you ask him that?
I did not. I'll be sure to do that.
All right.
Is it the same email we're talking about?
Probably.
Yeah, he put that to the executive, and then that's where it stalled. So you'll have to follow.
Ah, okay.
So, and then in your honor, Doc, so that I would be able to talk about it on this show with you on the show, I shot my first match with a revolver.
Oh, I like.
I shot it with my 686.
Oh, I like it even better.
It's got a 4.2-inch barrel.
Yeah.
And I was shooting full house CCI factory loads, and just about every time I pulled the trigger, a fireball came out of the gun.
Oh, yeah. You got to love that.
Oh, yeah. The squad was giggling, and the safety officer was staying back. We've got this one stage on our range that's a two-story platform. You go up one set of stairs, you go through a trap door, down another set of stairs, and then you're underneath this platform. And so of course, the guns get a lot louder down there. He didn't follow me down. He just stuck the timer through the hole in the floor.
He probably didn't even have to do that. The whole range probably reverberated.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And I was slow because I've never really practice speed reloads on a revolver. I was using both speed loaders and jet loaders.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience was that the speed loaders were easier to get into the cylinders, but of course slower to, you know, load the cylinder. The right. jet loader wasn't as forgiving, but if you got it in there clean, man, was it quick. I mean, it just literally throws those shells into the cylinder.
Yeah. What's the difference between the speed loader and the jet loader for the listeners who don't know?
Jet loaders are spring-loaded, so once you line them up, you push a button on the back, it's spring-loaded, and it actually literally pushes the bullets into the cylinder.
Yeah, it throws them in.
The jet loader, the speed loader just holds the bullets. You have to manually put it in, manually turn a knob that unlocks it, and then they're gravity-fed.
On your speed loaders, which ones did you have? What's the brand?
Good
HKS
question.
Or
yes, HKS.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, HKS is kind of funny because there are two varieties of the HKS. One, you have to kind of jiggle the speed loader to get the rounds to line up with the cylinder holes there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, you know, basically it's just locked in and lines up straight through. Typically the ones that people have are the kind that you got to kind of, if you wonder which one you have, if you pick it up and let the bullets actually dangle from it, you know, straight down and shake it. And if it rattles, that's the one you got to kind of jiggle to get it in there. But yep. That's the most popular because of the price and all.
Yep.
But,
and I believe that's what I have.
Yeah.
First ones, the ones that I personally own, I bought when I had my Colt Python.
Oh,
I'll tell you.
You
that.
Said when you had it?
Yeah, well, yeah. You're gonna hate me later. We'll come back to it.
Oh.
So they work in my 686. The ones that I used on the weekend were stamped 586 on the back, which of course the only difference is color, right? So one's blued and one's stainless. I definitely think they were the wiggly ones. So and my 686 doc, in case you're wondering, I've done some work to it. I polished the internals. I put on a high-vis front red fiber optic sight, and I put in the Jerry Mikulik Bangs Inc. spring kit. Changed the main spring and the trigger return spring, I believe.
That's the lightest trigger I've ever felt on any gun that can single action.
You just think about the trigger.
Yeah, you just think about the trigger going off, and it goes off.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
And I did take some single action shots. We had this one stage where you had to go prone and shoot from underneath a car at steel poppers and a steel plate rack and two flippers. So it was all steel and then a little bit of paper. And for the most difficult shots that were out far, I just went single action, lined the sight up, and I made a pretty decent time on it.
Did they apply the appropriate penalties for that?
I asked Kingston, and Kingston said you're allowed to take single action shots whenever you want.
Oh, you just can't start single action with production division then.
Well, this is a revolver.
And that's right. Oh, I understand.
Yeah, you couldn't start single action with this either, I don't imagine. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so that was it. That's really, it was just a busy week of teaching, and I did no recreational shooting at all this week. It was just black badge and then shoot the black badge mini match, and then I'm going to leave tomorrow from work and go to the Merrill Machine and do another one. We're up to 6 in this one, so.
Yeah, I wish I could join you, man.
Yeah, me too.
Stupid wedding. Oh, that's the other thing I forgot to mention. Yeah, I'm going to some stupid wedding. Anyway, I hope my brother-in-law doesn't listen because I'm going to his wedding. So, Ryan, your wedding's stupid.
For that matter.
What's that?
His bride-to-be.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. There's no way she listens, I'm sure. But, no, I got a envelope in the mail today that's from Caliber Publishing, so I can just imagine it. It's the third issue of Caliber magazine.
It is. I forgot to mention it.
I don't have a subscription, but they seem to be sending them to me anyway. So
same
thank
here.
You to the guys at Caliber. I mean, it is muchly appreciated. I love your magazines.
They wrote this issue for me, man. It's the AR 15 issue.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Because you're the only person that has AR 15s in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
nobody
else.
Nobody loves them as much as I do.
Oh, I don't know.
You hate your guns compared to how much I love my guns.
I use my guns.
You're a liberal compared to me, man.
Yeah.
And that's wow, it. Those are fighting yeah. words. That's Owen, are you going to stand for that? I mean...
No, I'm going to wait until he gets in that lightsaber match with whoever else he was in the lightsaber match with, and then I'm going to stab him in the back.
There you go. Because he picked you as his second, right?
I'm both proud of you and hate you all at the same time. That's it. What else we got?
Well, I think we have Doc Wesson on. I think we're going to talk about revolvers. Oh, wait.
Hey, what's up, Doc?
We already did that. Okay, on the listener feedback.
Okay, Doc, you told us you're old-fashioned, basically, is what you told us. That's why you carry a revolver.
Yeah.
Is that about right?
Is it old-fashioned or just old? I'm just curious.
Oh, you're killing me.
Sorry, man. Couldn't help it.
He has an effect on people.
Yeah. No, I just, you know, I like, well, I just old-fashioned, I guess. And then, you know, you just get so much power, you know, out of a good steel revolver. You know, I mean, you can get it out of semi-autos, but.
Yeah, you can get a Colt in 10 millimeter.
Yeah, yeah.
True. There is something about an all-steel gun, though.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean,
it really
is. This revolver, I know when I ran out of bullets, I could beat someone to death with it.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, try that with your Glock.
Exactly.
The guy'd be like, ow, stop it.
Hey, let me put a Glock in a pillowcase and beat you upside your head, neck, and chest area, and then we'll decide if it's...
Yes, and then I will do the same with Owen's revolver, and we'll pick your pieces up and put them back in a Ziploc bag and mail you across the country.
Like, Trevor, did that hurt? It looks like it hurt, man.
That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah.
So, Doc, talk to us a bit about your favorite revolver manufacturers and why.
Well, you know, Smith probably is my favorite. I just have always, I guess, you know, I ended up having at the beginning more Smith revolvers than anything. I actually started out with the, let's see, what was my first one? Gosh, I can't remember. I ought to know this. Holy smoke.
Was it a Pepper Box or a Cap and Ball?
No, come on.
Cap and Ball pistol was my very first gun.
shoot like lightning, but a load of mics slow.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and look and see which one. But I've had quite a few Smiths, and I just, you know, originally they were fairly smooth. Then, of course, Colts. But, you know, you had to start getting into some money to get the Colts. Now, my absolute all-time favorite is probably...
$400 is not a lot of money.
Well, back in the day.
I'm making a reference to what I paid for my 8-inch bright nickel Colt Python.
You back in the day, right?
No, just about 3 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And how much did you sell it for?
$1,100, and I know it's not a number. $1,136.
What did you buy it from a widow?
I did, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew.
He brought it to the range twice, died in a snowmobile accident, and the gun sat there untouched in a closet for years. It was rated by a verifier at about 97-98%.
Oh my gosh.
Bright nickel, 8-inch barrel. Gorgeous.
I'll tell you. Oh well, that's my ultimate favorite right there. The Python.
You know what? The King Cobra. I thought it was the Python, and then I shot a King Cobra with a 4-inch barrel, and I would sell this 686 and step over my own mother to get a King Cobra.
They're good. King Cobras are good. I've had a few of those. Well, a couple of those. And then the Anaconda, you know, I actually had an Anaconda.
Now, the Anaconda is the 44, right?
Yeah, that's 44 Magnum, and I had it in the 6-inch.
Oh, I bet that was nice.
Oh, it was. And I used to, you know, we'd hunt whitetail. I went hunting whitetail with that. That's
wonderful.
And, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking, you were trying to remember what your first revolver was?
Yeah.
I've had almost as many revolvers as I've had semi-autos.
Mm-hmm.
I've had at least 357 Magnums so far, a couple of 22s. I am a revolver guy, but for me, they're not practical for what I do, right?
Right. Well, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. But they're just, you know, it's amazing, though, how much they are now. As a matter of fact, Smith & Wesson, of course, comes out, and they have their vintage heritage or whatever they call it line, where they go back and offer the original configurations of their revolvers and just, you know, their blued versions. And now they charge, you know, what, five times more than they used to just to call it vintaged or whatever they call it, heritaged or something like that. But great marketing, you know,
yeah,
really.
And that's all it is, yep.
Yeah. Now Ruger's, as far as toughness goes, they have got to be the toughest revolvers. you know, the Red Hawks, and of course the I carry a little SP-101 with me. I say,
oh yes, love it. That's my favorite revolver. See, yeah. You got the SR9C, which I own an SR9, and you go SP-101. I love the SP-101. Oh, if I could get a revolver, which I could if I had more money, and if I was gonna, that's the one I'd get. 357 Magnum, hands down. Oh yeah,
yeah,
baby.
The SP is it's a good piece. Actually, when they first came out, they offered it originally in a 22 long rifle as well.
Yeah, so they still do. Yeah, they're offering it that as well. Right. It doesn't look the same as a 357 mag, though.
Right, right. Well,
one does.
Yeah, you're right. I bought both the 22 long rifle and the 357 Magnum at the same time, with the intention of obviously shooting the 22s to get the mechanics of the revolver, that particular revolver, down, and muscle memory on it and everything. And then it's worked quite well. And
the trigger pull the same?
Pretty much about the same, maybe a little stiffer. It stacks a little bit more on the 22 than it does the 357. It does have a little stage to it, you know.
That's what I loved about the King Cobra. It didn't stack so much as you got to a certain point and then it pulled itself.
Well, that makes sense. You're probably right. It does kind of give it that, once you get it to the breaking point, you know, it gets it going in the opposite direction kind of. But yeah, the King Cobra was, those were nice. I have to admit, those were nice. I still have the Python though, you know, that was just, everybody thought that was the baddest. And I just, so did I. Ended up getting one.
It's been called the finest production revolver ever made by several writers.
Yeah, you're right about that. But I enjoy those considerably. But I still, Rugers, you know, I have enjoyed those. Use those a lot for hunting. Like I said, they're so tough. You feed them full fledged mags all day long, and they laugh at you. You know, I like to shoot those a lot. And as a matter of fact, you know, Grant, who's on my on the Gun Nation, he's Grant actually, you know, wrote the Shooter's Guide to Handguns, and then of course, you know, for the Gun Digest books.
Nice.
And also the I got them right here, the Gun Digest book of the revolver, and he's got another one coming out too. I think towards the 20th of June or July or something like that, August, something or that. Like, but anyway, he's a big wheel guy. He's the wheel guy, and he's a Ruger guy too, but works on them and all. We talk about it a lot on the show, but he really gets into the Rugers based on the fact. And I have to admit, I have relatively small hands compared, and it's just the Ruger the trigger reach is less and is a little bit easier, but I still like the Smith, you know.
And which configuration of Python do you have?
Well, I had the let's see, which barrel I had. Well, I had two of them actually. I had one in a 4-inch, and then came back and bought the what was it? The 3-inch. It was the 3-inch.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, I had the 3-inch on that.
We drool over anything less than 4.2 inches. That's our limit here in Canada before it becomes a prohibited firearm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you guys can buy, like, the Serbu Shorty shotguns and have it shipped to your house. And
that's right.
Yeah, so we've got some ups and we've got some downs.
Yeah, so we can get Air 15 shipped to our house. There's no FFL thing or anything like that.
It's amazing.
Handguns, same thing. Short-barreled shotguns, short-barreled rifles. Model of 686 that I have, you probably wouldn't find it in the States. It's made for specifically for the Canadian market. It's 4.2 on purpose. Yeah. You would get the 4-inch or the 5-inch.
Yep.
So, and the coloring between the barrel and the receiver or the frame of the revolver is actually off a little bit. You don't see it so much in person, depending on the lighting, but in a photograph, you can definitely see that. You know, the brush stainless is slightly different. So they, you can tell that maybe it was a rush run of barrels that they did. So, yeah.
Interesting.
I held a Smith when I was 19 years old. I had a security job and, Jason Filk from Alberta just got hung up on. Sorry, Jason. After he invited me into his home and everything.
I hung up on him. Not only that, but on the show.
On the show. So shout out to Jason. I'll call you back. So, Doc, when I was 19, the local police officers in my hometown carried a Smith & Wesson stainless revolver that looked just like a 6A6, only it didn't have a rear sight. It was just a groove in the top of the frame. Mm-hmm. And I knew once upon a time which model it was. But holding that revolver did it for me. That's what made me fall in love with handguns. That's what made me fall in love with revolvers. And I bought this 686 because pretty much I think it's the closest thing I can get to that gun. And that gun would be considered a prohib because it's a 4-inch barrel.
Right.
So, a cop put a gun on my hand and I went, oh, the heavens opened and the angels sung and all that stuff.
You had the movement hit you. Yeah, it's kind of the same way, that heritage type thing, you know, where it's just kind of see that as when you're younger and it just kind of strikes you and you're like, yeah, I got to have something like that. I'm just stuck with it that way too. So,
yeah, well, I was already a gun guy growing up with a hunting family and whatnot, but, and there was a revolver in the house, a little German 22. Back in the, it was a wreck. And it really was a wreck, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a bad shit. So let's switch to calibers, Doc.
Mm.
A lot of the guns that you've mentioned are chambered in the wonderful 357 Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your preferred carry round?
Yep, that one is. and I carry the full-fledged mags, too. A lot of people, including Mass, I think, carries, you know, when they have revolvers in 357, they'll carry it in the 38 plus P. And I'd like the full-fledged mag in it. And I prefer the 45, basically, second to that. And I'm going to tell my age again, in the long Colt variety. And I actually, there was a gun writer, he's still around, but doesn't do the writing like he used to, Ross Seyfried, who wrote for Guns and Ammo, and he actually took a Ruger Beasley that's got the more straight up and down grip to it. You know, it's a single action. And he actually took, and this is what got me, you know, hooked on the 45 Colt, as you'd call it now, but He took the cylinder and dropped out the 6-shot cylinder and had a 5-shot cylinder made for it, which obviously beefs up the metal in between the cartridge holes there. And he actually had done that and was loading the 45 Long Colt up to maximize over the 44 Magnum rounds. I was actually getting more out of them that. And that's when I said, I've got to do something like that. So I ended up getting quite a few of them. In the past, I've loaded, had the 45 Colt loaded up and was shooting it. I bought a, let's see, what was it? I had the Ruger in the 4-inch, the Red Hawk, the Super Red Hawk. And it's got the rubber grips on it and all. And that handles them quite nicely. Just all jacked up. Hello?
Yes, fantastic.
No, Trevor was just in awe.
Everybody's drinking.
We're soaking it in, man. We're soaking it in. I mean, we can talk.
I thought I drank all this Crown and I'm thinking, did I miss the show?
Yeah, no, we're done. Yeah, we're over.
And then
no.
when Trevor's voice hit, it was opened up from the heavens. I was not alone.
That's what it was right there. That's the same music I heard. Awesome. Yeah. I'm like you. I have a 357 Magnum, and that's what I want to shoot out of it.
Yeah.
I've got thousands of 38 specials downstairs, and they stay downstairs. But I'm very low on 357 Magnum. Now, what about brand, Doc? When you're carrying defensive ammo, I assume you're buying factory loads?
Mm-hmm. Spear Gold Dot.
Spear Gold Dot.
Mm-hmm. 124.
124?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, 125, excuse me. I'm thinking 9mm. Yeah, 125.
They must be screaming.
Yeah, they come on out of there. As a matter of fact, you know, too, I have purchased some of the Double Tap.
Yeah.
they have some in the 125 that are absolutely just in the, like, the, what is that short barrel they've got in their J, one of their J4s, like 1 7/8 inch barrel. This thing is cruising at like 1,400 feet per second out of that barrel.
Out of that.
Yeah, so it gets on up there. And those work wonderful. You're getting 1,700 feet per second out of like, right around 3 to 4 inches, 3 to 4 inches basically. And that's a lot. That is a lot. And, oddly enough, though, I do not shoot that out of the lever action. I don't lever, excuse me, out of that. but the reason being is the bullet and the jacket were not designed to handle those kind of speeds. They fragment when they hit. And I've shot a lot of clay and things like that with them, and it just tears them to pieces. So in those, typically I'll, go up to 158 grain bullet for the, of course in spare gold dot again, but I'll carry that in the lever action. Now, obviously, if I had to grab the lightweight stuff, I'd put it in there. But it gets, you're talking about with that particular weight of bullet, you're getting 2,000 feet per second out of it in so like an 18-inch barrel.
So it's all about terminal velocity because I, generally. Well, I always just figure the heavier the bullet, the more knockdown power. But I know that's not always the case. It's about, a combination of the speed and the weight of the bullet when it hits.
Right, exactly.
All I have is 158 grain jacketed hollow points and 160 grain lead round nose, actually.
Mm.
And I wouldn't want to use those 160 lead round noses for they were just, that's just general purpose blinking ammo.
Yeah.
That I would have no problem trusting my life to those CCI 158 grains though. Yeah.
Yeah, CCI makes good stuff. They make some good stuff. There's no
and
doubt.
It's probably old. I mean, it came with a 586 that I bought, and that was a neat gun. That was a PPC gun. And and that trigger actually was better than this trigger, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So,
trying to believe.
Yeah, but it was very polished and very tuned for PPC. So
very cool. Yeah. That of course the number one, and Evan Marshall, who did Handgun Stopping Power, he wrote the books from Detroit, and I've actually talked to him. I was going to get him on the show one time, haven't been able to do it yet, but he and Evan Marshall and Ed Sanow wrote Handgun Stopping Power. It's a series of books. You can also find him. I think he's still got his webpage, stoppingpower.net. But he has forums over there and all as well. But he actually did all the gathered data based on one-stop shots. And now, that's very controversial. People are like, that's a bunch of junk, one-stop shot and all this. You can't get a percentage on it. It depends on where you hit them. And, you can do it with a 22 if you hit them in the right spot or, But he did a valiant effort at going through as a police officer and collecting the data and kind of putting it together. And, back in the 80s, it proved at the time that the 357 Magnum and the 125 grain bullet basically was giving you, I think it was approximately 97% one-stop shots based on the data that he pulled in.
Wow.
And then it dropped off from there. 45 actually was less than you would think at the time. It dropped off, and then 9mm. But there again, a lot, like we said before, the metallurgy at the time was so much different. The cartridges, how they were put together.
Also, we touched upon the development of powders as well.
Oh, yeah, most definitely that, too. Most definitely.
A long way in 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, burn rate, they've really got it tuned down. The burn rate's tuned down well as to, how it's going to perform. And a case in point, as an example, you're looking at the, like I said, Double Tap. And Buffalo Bore is another one that makes some really stout rounds. Those particular ones, the type of powders that they use, they're getting, proper SAMI pressures in their cartridges. And so they're not really, dangerous. Obviously you want them in a modern working gun.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that those particular pressures are fine, but they give you those excellent speeds because of the way the burn rate of the powder is. So, you get a lot more of the burn inside while the projectile's still inside the barrel, versus where it's spent outside, where you get that wonderful glow of the fireball.
Yeah.
They do a great job at it. As a matter of fact, if you go on their website, they'll explain, don't call us. Yes, they're perfectly fine to shoot and, modern firearms. And, those speeds are accurate as well. I've clocked a few of them, and they do actually get up there. They're, you hit it right. 1,450 feet per second is pretty much like the sweet spot for the 357 Magnum. In the day, it was. I mean, that's kind of what it was set to. And that was basically what they were trying to tune, the rounds, the 125 grain round, 357 Magnum, into a 4-inch barrel. And so that became kind of the benchmark for them to go for. And, of course, as you start cutting off the barrel, the speed goes down, so the instrumental energy starts going down at that point too. But they still, I'll never forget reading in Marshall's book and some of the others. They're talking about the lightning bolt effect that was happening even after they were shot out of the 2 and 3 inch barrels. That these 357 Magnums were they had a lightning bolt effect, where it was putting people down immediately. And again, that was compared to the other things like the 9mm at the time, and they just didn't have it. But nowadays, it's like we said before, it's just not the same. You've got so good. They've come such a long way, and in firearms and cartridges, it's amazing, absolutely amazing what these things do now.
It is. I mean, there's no, you carry a little bit of 45, a little bit more of 40, or a whole lot of 9mm.
Yeah.
And so, and if the 9mm is going to give you the same ballistics as a 40 now, when you're talking, like we said, plus P plus ammo, mm-hmm. why not go for the capacity if you've got the same stopping power in a smaller, right. lighter package?
Right. You're right. It's very true.
Kind of like your 686 with the 2.5-inch barrel.
Yep, exactly. That's precisely right. You get right into those speeds at that point.
Yeah.
And I get ribbed about that a lot because, they're like, come on, you can carry a 9 and still do it. And I was like, yeah, you can. You're absolutely right. You can do that. But, I was in the I think I'd gone out to lunch yesterday, and I was headed into the restaurant, and I looked at this bumper sticker on this car, and it's got to be one of my favorite. It said 45. And it said, because shooting twice is silly.
Yeah.
I like it.
But that was the thought back, 80s, 90s, that was the case. They were thinking, if you want to put somebody, get the person off of you, get the threat, stopped, you needed something that was bigger, mm-hmm, but, yeah. Nowadays it is different.
I always say bigger caliber is just compensation for poor shot placement.
Well, there's another bumper sticker. You ought to put them together and sell them along with the Beowulf mags.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
But you're right. A lot of people would agree with you.
Yeah, for sure.
Matthew?
We are rolling up to the hour mark, so we got to get through some listener email still.
Fine.
So why don't we roll into that? And we'll get Doc's input on some of these questions, too, if it becomes appropriate. So, Trevor, why don't you bring us the first one here?
All right. This one comes to us from Steph. He says, hey, or she, hey, Steph. Steph or Steven? Steph?
It's probably Steven. I'm going to go with Steven because last time I called Jasmine a girl. So
right.
This time we're going with Steph, and I'm pretty sure it's short for Steven, so maybe it's a guy. I don't know. Steph, if you're a girl, I'm sorry.
And Steven, if you're a guy, spell your name with a V-E-N. But hey, that's it. We're insulting the listeners. Not good. I apologize. Hey, I just listened to the recent episode of your podcast, and you mentioned you got the Midway USA range bag. I've been trying to get my hands on that same bag, but the site apparently doesn't ship to Canada. So I was wondering how you got your hands on it. Great job on the podcast. Keep fighting the good fight. Cheers, Steph or Steven. Oh, and he's talking about your recently acquired new range bag.
Yeah, yeah. I live quite close to the border, and so I was actually, this is what I would normally do, though. This friend of mine was placing an order, so he took care of it all for me. I have a U.S. Post Office box and mailbox, and I just get stuff shipped to there, and then I'll go across and bring it back. Stuff like a bag is not, you know, there's no issues with ITAR or any sort of.
Yeah, you're not talking about a barrel.
No, that's right. I'm not bringing gun parts and stuff back, so it's not an issue that way. So bag's pretty easy, and yeah, so that's how I did it. I'm not really sure if you don't have that option. I'm not really sure what.
Well, you'll just sell him yours at twice the price, right?
There you go. That's right.
Plus shipping
and tax
and taxes. Yeah.
Yep.
No, it. Yeah, no, it's a great bag, and if there is a way to get it, I don't know. I don't think there is a Midway Canada, is there?
I don't think there is.
No.
Maybe we should open one.
And sell 50 Beowulf mags.
There you go. We'll call it Press Check Venture Zone instead of Midway Canada.
Yeah.
There you go. Cool. Nope. Well, Owen, don't stop talking. Bring us this next one from George.
All right. George says, hey, guys. Just getting back into the listening side of podcasting and caught episode 6. First, more SASS talk.
I don't understand the question.
Wasn't a question. I think it was a demand.
Oh. Well, I tell you what, George, if you want to talk that stuff, you're going to have to come on with us and you will have an episode about it.
We talked all revolvers tonight. That's close enough, right?
Nope. We need some cowboy action.
All right. We'll see. George,
you're obviously
let us know.
Talking about Mr. New Shooter Canada, right?
Yes.
That's right. This is George Hatch. Yes.
Yeah, I like George.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like George.
He says, it's nice hearing gun nuts just jawing about guns. In the 86 part, now that was some funny beep.
I like how you bleeped yourself. I was getting ready to write down the time so I'd go back and bleep it myself, but you did it yourself, so fantastic.
I missed that reference. What was that reference to?
That was when you dropped your gun on the keyboard, and I'm like, oh. Hey, how come somebody just typed 86 into the show notes? You're like, oh, I just dropped my gun on the keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Must have been a little gun.
Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't break it in half. It's because it was a Glock and not a revolver.
That's right. Yeah, you want to see what it sounds like if I drop my revolver on the keyboard?
No, you'll short out your computer probably.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, Matthew, you got on.
Oh, no, George's isn't done yet.
Oops.
Yeah, he's not done. So are you guys going to the charity shoot, catching up on some back episodes of CRR and hearing about the Daniel Defense draw? Some folks don't do EMTs and would like to buy some tickets in person. Keep it up. Cheers, George from New Shooter Canada.
Yes and yes.
Yep, we're planning on being there, and we will sell you tickets while we're there if you want them.
Indeed.
And by we, I mean Trevor.
Whatever. You're pretty much.
I will be there, but I won't sell you any tickets.
You can sell them your tickets at twice the price.
That's what I will do.
I'll definitely hook George up with some tickets.
Very good. We can do that. Well, this last email comes to us from my YouTube channel that was posted 30 minutes ago, and I thought I'd put it in because it was relevant. Comes to us from Cosmo Cookie Duster. He writes, is there an episode of CRR or SFR that discusses Canadian regulations regarding shooting on public or private forest lands? A discussion for non-Canadian audience. I listened to the recent discussion on Slamfire about magazine limitations and found it very interesting. Thumbs up on Dr. Pepper. So we don't really have a topic or a show with that topic yet, but that is a great topic, and I think that we can work that into an upcoming show. What do you guys think?
Yep.
Yep, most likely. Good.
Cool. Well, that brings us into the best iTunes review this week. So here's how this works. You go to iTunes, you leave us a 5-star rating. Well, we would prefer if you left us a 5-star rating, but you can leave whatever rating you choose. But the 5-star ratings really help us stay at the top of the list there. And, and review the show. Make it funny or witty or whatever, and you might find yourself right here listening to your own text as Trevor reads it.
So this one comes to us from some guy called 10XX?
Tenex, I believe. Tenex.
And Tenex says, the Canadian firearms enthusiast version of Top Gear with Jeremy Furlot, Richard Warning Shot McClatchy, and James Captain Slow's Mind Weapon, Fluelling. Irreverent, funny, and nowhere near to being serious. time well wasted.
Just like 10x, Amy. 10x, you definitely won the show.
Yeah. And once again, you know, I don't read as well as he writes.
That's okay. It was funnier this way.
Yeah, for you.
Looking through that crown bottle, aren't you?
The crown
but yeah,
bottles.
We want to give a very personal thank you, and by personal, I mean this is it right now. This is all you're getting. To everybody who's posted reviews and left reviews on iTunes. You know, like we said, we really appreciate it. Trevor goes through and reads them every day, at least 3 times, I think. And
depends if I'm mentioned. If I'm mentioned, it's 3 times. If I'm not, then it's just 1.
So there you go. If you want Trevor to read your review 3 times,
and then he cries.
If you want me to practice my phonics, put my name down.
And mention him so he doesn't cry.
That's right.
Wait, you're confusing me with a host from another show on the network. Just saying, Bolivar. A little frog in my throat there.
Oh, yeah, you got to kind of cough that out.
I'm not saying he's sensitive. I'm just saying he's whiny.
Right, whiny, girly man. See, I wouldn't say that personally, but Trevor brought it up, so, you know.
He picked a fight with the boys over at Politics and Guns, and I think he's losing because he expected. He thought we were all going to come to his rescue.
Bolivar, I'll rescue you, man. No. Anyway, I guess that's pretty much it for the show. Head over to Gun Owners of Canada. Because they do monthly giveaway contests. We had one of the guys just send us a kind of an update on what their giveaway prizes are this month or the upcoming months.
The guy.
Yeah, J-Wire.
J-Wire109.com or com.
J-Wire109 something. I don't know. The guy, Nathan. So all you got to do is be a member of the forum, and your name goes in, and there's like knife sets, holsters, range bags, all kinds of cool stuff. So you should really go head over there and check it out. Also, if you're so inclined, after you're done leaving us a review on iTunes, go and like us on Facebook. And there you can actually interact with us one-on-one. And by one-on-one, I mean Trevor takes care of all of that again because he is the social media whore.
One on Trevor. I like those odds.
Yep. Of course, be sure to check out the other shows like, I don't know, the Warriors Ethos podcast. That's a pretty good one. What do you think, Owen? Is that a pretty good one?
If you say so.
Yeah, the Canadian Reload Radio Network has all kinds of cool other podcasts. So check them out. Listen, learn something, or go over and make fun of Bolivar, one or the other. And the charity shoot. We've already mentioned it. Trevor and I are going to be there. Owen's wussing out on us, but, you know, the other two will be there.
Yeah.
Nothing, Owen? You're not going to?
No.
No.
Listen, I do not engage in a battle of wits with the unarmed. So.
With the unarmed? Oh. That right there is funny. Oh, Bolivar, I made up a joke on my way home from work today. It's, what's a 1911's favorite sandwich? Peanut butter and jam.
Nice, I like it.
Go, Trev.
I called Matthew last night. I looked up my cell phone and the time was 1911. So I called Matthew and I said, Matthew.
And of course he didn't get through because the phone line's jammed.
So then I took out my Glock phone and I called them just to say, dude, it's 1911 and this is a public service announcement. I'm calling to let you know that they suck. And he thanked me and that was it.
And we carried on, yes. Yeah. It was quite funny. Well, guys, wrapping up, please be sure to join up one or both of our national firearms organizations, the NFA or the CSSA. They do great things for you and your rights and your privileges and your abilities to own guns in Canada. So sign up.
Did you know that the NFA is now an official firearm lobby group?
Ooh, they're official now.
Official, yeah. All official.
Good to know.
Awesome.
They're the only one, as far as I know, in Canada.
It's like an American not being a member of the NRA. If everybody in Canada knows about the NRA, you know, the NRA, good press or bad press, they get press, and they are a household, everyday name. Everybody, gun owner or not, in Canada and the U.S. has heard of the NRA for good reason. And we're here to tell you about our versions, the NFA and the CSSA. And if you own a gun or 100 guns, you need to help them help you.
Very well Amen. Spoken. All right. Well, is there anything else you want to say before we leave?
Well, let's thank our awesome guest.
Oh, yeah, right. Doc, you still here, man?
Oh.
Oh, what? What? And you are?
Or no.
Oh, wait, no, I stand.
Let's see, what was it you said? You're calling it passed out?
Did you say that? I was saying, calling it sleeping.
Yes. Yeah.
I was trying to go back, and I've had enough tonight that I'm trying to go back and wonder if I actually said things correctly.
I think you did. I think okay. Everything you said was understandable, and I think it was all right.
All right.
Well, I would know. I don't ship revolvers. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. You're Doc Wesson, you can't be wrong.
Yeah, right. There you go.
If I don't just play one on TV.
There you go. If you said something that was wrong, the author would just go back and change his book to make it.
That's right.
To make it right.
Kind of like Chuck Norris, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's right. I wish. I only wish.
When he touches water, he doesn't get wet. The water gets Chuck Norris, you know? He bites zombies, they come back to life. I mean, that's the way it is. Or when a zombie bites him, they turn into, a lesser version of Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's an awesome joke there, Jeff. That's we're just going to end right there.
We're going to have you guys on the bar stool.
We've wanted to, but it kind of always kind of conflicted with the schedule. But now that we're freed up, we might be able to get that done.
Yeah, we're live. We're a live show. We take calls and all that, too. So we do.
Yeah, I used to call in every now and then. I remember that.
As a matter of fact, the first time I talked with Matt was like, that was actually on the Gun Nation when I was doing my show.
Yes. Yeah.
And the Gun Nation is what I do with that one is I try to make sure that we get it to be more information, angled. To
more folks. Formal, more structured. Yeah.
Very structured. And we try to throw some humor in and polish it pretty good and have a lot of fun doing it too. And then, but also at the bar stool, we call it bar stool for a reason.
It's a little less formal.
It's our kind of show.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite out of the two. But we have them every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's daylight time now, but 9 p.m. Eastern. And, it's usually like a 2-hour deal for the bar stool, and then my show. I try to keep it to like an hour, hour and a half, but we get way out there sometimes. And matter of fact, I like that comment that you had put in your show notes on was the show I actually was supposed to show up at. That you're glad that I didn't show up because it wouldn't have stuck to an hour.
That's right.
Were you insinuating that I talk a lot?
No, just that we had a lot of listener feedback last week. That's what we're going to go with. That's what we're going with. You know.
That's the official story. Two rules of podcasting. Don't insult your listeners. Don't insult your guest hosts.
That's right.
So in this case, we're going to blame the listeners for going long because they sent us too much bloody email.
That's right.
But we're not going to insult you.
Well, no. Good enough. But yeah, we have the Gun Rights Radio Network. That's what we're part of. And, we got Masada Yub and Gail Pepin and the Pearl Arms podcast there.
Who?
Mass? Mass. And Mass likes to call in sometimes on the bar stool. And we have an after show after that, too, where we'll chat for quite literally hours. Sometimes it's 2 a.m. when I get to bed on Wednesday night because of it. But Mass, he'll call in with Gail, and they'll be on the road. And she's calling in talking junk. She can't figure out how to get her iPad to work. And then Mass is over there writing articles for a Gun Rag. And then she'll say, "You want me to get Mass on?" I'm like, "Yeah." So he'll get on and he'll start telling jokes in his deep voice, And exactly. we get tickled and we all have a good time. And it's a lot of fun. And, if you ever want to call in and talk to Masada Yub, that's the time to do it. Because we unmute everybody after the show so people can talk. And, of course, we have a chat room, too, that flies the whole time, too. But
I'd love to get him when he's into the Rolling Rock.
And he does drink some Rolling Rock now. That's the truth.
Yeah. Well, you know how he described Rolling Rock, right? To you, it's a beer. To me, it's a belief system.
Very nice.
The Masada Yub. Well, gentlemen, we've done it again. We've drug out an ending way longer than it needed to be. But it was well worth it.
Yeah, that's pretty much Doc's fault. Yeah, we're throwing him under the bus.
That's all right.
What was that about not insulting our guests? Too late!
Myself.
Well, we can't thank you enough, Doc, for coming on with us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
It's a lot of fun.
Really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Very good. All right. Well, we'll catch you all next week, I guess.
See you later.
Take somebody shooting.
Don't tell me what to do.
good day, eh?
Yep.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to
get a gun. Oh, that's funny. Brian Bolivar says he likes my Glock 35 photo you took. I like it with a hint of reluctance. I know. Funny, right?
Oh, how's it going, eh?
Hey, Doc. What's going on, man?
Beauty, eh? Yeah, I liked it. Hey, listen. Do you know this song?
Take off.
Saying, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so good day.
That's our unofficial anthem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what they play at the small hockey games.
That's like when I first realized there was a country to the north of us. You know, because, you know, Geddy, Geddy Lee, I'm going to tell my age here, but Geddy Lee came out, I guess I was in eighth grade, something like that. And, you know, when Rush came out, basically. Mm-hmm. And we just latched on that. I remember everybody thinking, wow, they were freaked out because they thought originally when I started playing it around these parts on the radio, everybody started thinking that that was the new Led Zeppelin album or something because, you know, they kind of sounded like that. And then everybody kept calling the radio stations, and they found out it was Rush. Everybody latched onto it like crazy. And, of course, everybody had to have Geddy on, you know, choker collar and flowing robes. And
awesome.
Yeah, that's all way over my head, man. I don't know if I was just not alive at that point in history or if I just didn't care.
You got to embrace your heritage, man.
Man, come on. Yeah, really. Oh, he's a Michael Bublé fan, I'm sure.
That's me. Probably. Yes, definitely. Yes.
Even that's a little risque for him.
A little. Yeah. It's a little too heavy for me. You know, I like my music to be a bit softer. You know, kind of like the intro to Owen's Warriors Ethos podcast. That's more up my alley.
Yeah, the Spanish music I thought was Celtic.
Exactly.
close enough.
Oh, it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I think it's already started, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We're off and running.